Welcome to Camp Constitution Radio with your host, Hal Shurtleff. This show is heard on WBCQ The Planet every Monday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it is rebroadcast on, I believe it's Thursdays at 7 o'clock, Thursday evenings. You can also hear this show on our Podomatic site, podomatic.com, and just put in Camp Constitution. And also, you can go to our YouTube channel, Camp Constitution, and find many of our shows archived on, you just go to the playlist and punch in Camp Constitution Radio, and we've been doing this show now for about 3 years on a weekly basis, so plenty of great interviews we've had over the years, and our camp is coming right up, Camp Constitution's annual family camp, and this year it will be held at the Lakeside Christian Conference Center in beautiful Pittsfield, Massachusetts, August 5th to the 11th. And we have a great lineup of instructors, as we do every year. And this year's instructors include Lord Christopher Monckton, Dr. Duke Pesta, Mrs. Chris Ann Hall, and Professor Willie Soon. So if you want more information about our camp, please visit our website, campconstitution.net. Also, back in last September, you may have heard some news about a lawsuit that we were filing against the city of Boston, because they refused to allow us a permit to raise the Christian flag. It made quite a few news outlets, WorldNet Daily, AOL Online, and about 50 or 60 others, and including the front page of the Boston Herald. Well, I just spoke to the attorney with the Liberty Council, and they were in the process of filing the suit in the next couple of days, so kind of stay tuned for that. We do have a scheduled guest. He has not come on yet. His name is James Jagger of Matrix Productions. So hopefully James comes in here. But until he does, I want to comment on something that happened. I think most people pay attention to the media. Maxine Waters, a day after the spokesman, the press secretary for the Trump administration, was kicked out of a restaurant. And by the way, I believe that restaurant owners have the right to do that. I don't think it's a good thing necessarily. I think it's a bitter and hateful thing, but they have a right to do that in a free country. But Maxine Waters said, yes, you'll do it to all the Trump administration people. Crowd them, shout them down, harass them to that effect. And of course, that will trickle down to all of the Trump supporters around the country. And even if you don't like Trump, you're still going to have to deal with that. So I believe Congress should take action under Article 1, Section 5, Paragraph 2, and either expel her or definitely punish her for that. Well, anyway, we're now on with James Jagger. James, thanks for joining us.
Hey, good to be here, Hal. Thanks for having me.
Yes. Yeah, I met James just a few years last weekend or a few weekends ago at the 5th Annual Flag Day Second Amendment Rally in Belchertown, Massachusetts, and I was looking at your credentials, and it would take me a half an hour to read it online. It's very impressive. So just for the sake of time, just tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and Matrix Productions.
Well, I've always been interested in the production of movies, even as a teenager, and worked on narrative dramatic motion pictures, starting with The Revenge of the Mad Scientist that I shot with my grandfather's 16-millimeter camera I wasn't supposed to touch. And eventually I migrated out to Hollywood to work in the industry and pay my dues. I worked with some of the studios, TV networks, and independent production companies over the years, you know, doing a lot of mindless, violent movies. Mm-hmm. And finally one day I thought, well, you know, maybe I should use the art of film to try to improve the country and the planet. So I just thought, for the heck of it, I'll just make a film called Fiat Empire, based on G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island.
Creature from Jekyll Island, yes. Yeah, I just want to recommend that. In fact, a lot of your things are recommended, but I remember showing that around the region in New England to people. It was very well done. So please, folks, well, you'll have a chance to give out your website. And also Cultural Marxism, which is a phenomenal presentation that you put together.
Thank you. But, you know, the credit really goes to Ed Griffin for writing a fabulous book, researching the subject of the Fed. a lot of people didn't realize the Fed was a private institution. And I put a little-known congressman in the film at the time named Ron Paul.
Mm-hmm.
I say little-known because he spent a lot of time at the Finance Committee, the Banking Committee, arguing with Alan Greenspan. And I'd watch him on C-SPAN and say, God, this guy looks like he knows what he's talking about. I want to get him in a movie. So anyway,
right.
To make a long story short, we made the movie. To my surprise, it went viral. A couple million people downloaded it, and it was given a Telly Award. So I just thought maybe my calling should be making some documentaries. They're all based on the Constitution. You mentioned an earlier one called Cultural Marxism. And we're on our ninth film right now with Good Guys with Guns.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, tell us. Now, you did one a few years ago on the gun issue.
Yes, we've been working in association with Oath Keepers for three or four films now. The first one was Molon Labe, and then the second one was Molon Labe is a primer on the Second Amendment and the militia system.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next one was Midnight Ride, which is basically a film about what happens if you ignore the Constitution and the militia system. And the one that we just finished with Oath Keepers is called Mainstream, how Hollywood movies and the New York media are promoting the globalist agenda. And we're now on a third gun film called Good Guys with Guns, how an armed citizenry deters tyranny and atrocities. So we're trying to do something about these mass shootings and use this as a demonstration of the concept of the Good Guys with Guns as a metaphor for the militia system. Remember, the militias are the first 13 rules of the Second Amendment that everybody ignores. So we're trying
mm-hmm.
to put some attention on those.
And we've had Edwin Vieira on the show and our friend Dan McGonigal, and we've done a lot of work on really what the militia is and not what some people think it is. And if the Second Amendment says that a well-regulated militia is vital for the defense of a free state, then how come we don't have a militia anymore? So could you tell the listeners a little bit, we haven't done anything like that in maybe a little while. So what exactly is a militia, and why a group of pot-bellied middle-aged guys running out in the woods calling themselves a militia isn't really a constitutional militia?
Well, first of all, I want to say Edwin is my producing partner. He's been my producing partner since we produced Original Intent, Cultural Marxism, Corporate Fascism, Spoiler, on up to Molon Labe, Midnight Ride, and the current one, Good Guys with Guns. Anyway, Edwin wrote a couple of books, incredible treatises. The first one, Sword and Sovereignty. That book inspired the production of Molon Labe. And then he wrote By Tyranny Out of Necessity. That one inspired the production of Midnight Ride. Now, to answer your question briefly, a militia is a governmental institution. We want to make that clear, and Edwin's works make that very clear. It is not a bunch of well-meaning guys running around in the forest with their guns. The militia of the colonies and the militia of the Constitution is basically under the charge of the governor of each state. So when we talk about a well-regulated militia, we're not really talking about the left's view of a bunch of guys running around in a forest, you know, and Michael Moore
mm-hmm.
out there meeting with
right.
them.
And
I can say is for your listeners, go to homevideo.net. All the films are up there for free. You can watch Molon Labe if you want a primer on the militia and the Second Amendment. And then you can read Edwin's, 1,250 page book full of the details.
That would be a good not Christmas, but summer reading. I think what Edwin, it's either a short essay or it's a massive tome. There's nothing in between, but he's a brilliant man. And what's the one he did that's, I don't know how many, it's a couple of thousand pages. It's on the economics. My goodness.
Yeah, it was called.
I can't. I'm sure as soon as the show is over.
Pieces of Eight, excuse me.
Pieces of Eight, that's it. That's correct. Yes, right. And it's interesting, too, how the law from 1903, the Dick Act. He was a congressman that basically renamed and redefined unconstitutionally what a militia is, and this notion of an unorganized militia. And, I mean, that has to get people a little upset. is no such thing. A militia, by its definition, is well regulated. How can it be a well regulated, unorganized? It's impossible.
Well, what they've done is that the usurpation of power at the federal level is due to Title 10, they basically chop the militia of the several states into the organized and the unorganized militia.
Mm-hmm.
Then they took the organized militia and renamed it the National Guard. And then they put the National Guard people and the military people in the National Guard. Everybody else got assigned to the unorganized militia. So you and I, unless you're military, are in the unorganized militia. Then
right.
they took the organized militia, which has now been renamed the National Guard, and made it an adjunct of the Army. So we now mm-hmm. have what's supposed to be a state institution reporting to a federal institution. That is not the way the founders meant it to be at all. They wanted a balance of power between the Fed and the states, and that's been destroyed. And that's what the first 13 words of the Second Amendment mean. A well-regulated militia is necessary.
That's
We're
right.
totally ignoring that in this country. And we were starting out this film project by asking, why is even the NRA ignoring that? And many of your listeners may not be aware that in their bylaws, they talk about supporting the militia system. Right there in the NRA's bylaws.
And that organization was founded, what, in the 1880s?
Well, they were founded, I don't know the exact date, but,
yeah.
Basically they were founded to support sportsmanship and safety and firearms and training. I was a member. I was on the NRA rifle team. We traveled all over New England shooting and things. But, you know, really, when you're that large and you have such a responsibility, I think you have to inform the public of the five reasons we keep and bear, which are target shooting, hunting, self-defense, deterrent against tyranny, and it should be to be in the militia.
That's right. You know, it's interesting. I have a friend of mine who's a doctor and an addiction specialist. He's been on the show a number of times. And a documentary about him is in the process of being released, Hero in America. But he had an issue. He said there was a family that lived in near Baltimore, Maryland, and the daughter was in homeschool, Christian people, and somehow she got involved with a gang, and MS-13. And I said to him, you know, MS, and there's nothing that anybody can do. She's an adult. She's 18, and they think that they're threatening the son, and the son is acting as sort of an informant because he's worried about the MS-13 killing the rest of his family, or what have you, or killing his family. And I'm thinking MS-13 is really, in essence, an illegal militia, and they involve in criminal activities,
right.
Drug dealing, prostitution. And if you had a true militia organized at the local level, these folks wouldn't have a chance. But I dare say you're not going to call out the National Guard to deal with MS-13 in your neighborhood, and you call 911.
Yeah. Oath Keepers came over to help out with the Bundy situation. You remember the
Ivan
Bundy when the
BLM
was running
yes.
him off his land. And by
That's
the way,
right.
do you mind if can I tell your listeners who the who's signed up for the film at this point?
Oh, by all
the,
means, please.
The
yeah.
first announcement on the radio. We did interview Cliven Bundy up at David Kopach's Flag Day rally. He gave a wonderful recitation of why we keep and bear. Sheriff Mack was interviewed. Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America was interviewed. G. Edward Griffin was interviewed in California a little bit prior. We interviewed Rosie Haas, David Kopach, Dan Rose,
yeah.
Kirk Whately, and Dan McConkel. We also interviewed Sheila Matthews, who will talk about psych drugs, and Walter Reddy, who's one of the co-founders of the Tea Party movement. We
yes.
still have yet to – we're going to organize Stuart Rhodes. We're going to interview Stuart Rhodes and Pastor Baldwin on the 28th. That's tomorrow in Montana. We do need donations, if you don't mind me saying, to
yeah.
get this movie done. So if any of you guys have any money out there, go to goodguys.us/donate. That's goodguys with a hyphen between good and guys, .us/donate. We don't have far to go. We're going to release this movie on the 17th of September, which is Flag Day, Constitution Day.
Oh, that's phenomenal.
We have to get Pastor and Stuart's interview in the can. We've got to get Edwin's interview in the can. I want to interview, and we have lined up Stephen Williford. Remember the good guy that came running out and chasing the shooter?
At the church. Yes, that's correct, yes.
He is truly a good guy with a gun. So the left is basically trying to take away all the weapons and blaming it all on the guns and violating the Second Amendment. And yet our research and what this movie will show is that really it is psych drugs that are the problem.
That's right. Well, when I spoke to the group at this gun rally, and I'm not an expert like Larry Pratt. I've read the books. I know the Constitution pretty well, and I can probably give a good defense for it. But I pointed out that we have nothing to be ashamed of. We don't have to apologize when somebody on psychotropic drugs walks into a school and shoots a bunch of their fellow students. The drug, and a lot of people don't realize this, it stems to this idea that children are dyslexic. They get dyslexic mainly because of the Look-Say method of reading, which is causes them not to be able to focus and not to be able to learn. And instead of being diagnosed as this is the problem, it's that the system of reading is the problem, they drug them. And anytime you see or hear a commercial for these psychotropics, they always tell you, all the warning things. One of them is death. One of them is thoughts of suicide. And on some occasions, people go crazy and they do things like shooting up schools. And
right.
The drug companies have a good rapport with the local schools. And you know, the hypocrisy of going into a government, I call them government indoctrination centers, but some people call them public schools, big old signs that we're a drug-free zone. No, you're not, because you're
right.
Dispensing this stuff every day, 5 days a week, all over the country. And
right.
So now you get your little snippets of interviews. You'll hear certain accounts where people have actually used their guns to prevent murders and to prevent crimes.
Yes, we're going to go into all this very, very detailed. This film has probably got the most massive research of any endeavor, absolutely any film that's ever been released in the public, going into the gun-free zones, going into psychotropic drugs. The data is extremely hard to get because the networks hide it, the TV, the politicians hide it, the lobby for the pharmaceutical companies hide it. We're gonna explain all this and how it works. Who's making the money off of these mass shootings, and proffer some reasons that some ways we can solve this problem. I don't know. Did I answer your question?
yes, but I know that I speculated, and I heard someone recently articulate this, that most of the violent crime the criminals use guns, either murdering or wounding people with firearms, is done, I would say, in a relatively small percentage of the country. And it's politically incorrect to say it, but you can't solve a problem unless you identify it. But it's mainly in the inner cities of the United States. So we're looking at Detroit and Washington, D.C. and Chicago, inner city Boston, inner city Atlanta, and so forth. And if you looked at the overall square mileage of where, I'm just saying, 80 to 90% of the crimes are committed, violent crimes with handguns or with guns, it would probably be still a relatively small area. You know, we're talking maybe 400 or 500 square miles. Would that be a relatively accurate stat?
Well, there's been 21 mass shootings in the United States since colonial days. Now, that number may surprise people, but that is the FBI's definition of mass shooting, is four or more, not including the perpetrator. The left would have you believe that we've had thousands of mass shootings. No,
right.
There were 21 of them. Now, whether or not they mostly occur in the cities or not, we'll have the data there. We'll present it, and you can actually look at where the actual mass murders were shot. Well, as I said earlier, we had to go all over the libraries and internet and everything to get this data because nobody has it in any one place. It's just a mess, and the data is obfuscated. If your listeners go to the site goodguys.us/inbetweengoodandguys, they can read the script. They can also see clips of the interviews, and they can get an idea what the scope of this movie is. We have the whole script right there on the site. And I think that if your listeners will read that script and see what this movie is going to cover, because we're covering stuff that you will never see on mainstream network television. It's just not going to happen. And so, really, the only way this information gets out is if responsible citizens promote it, get it out, forward it. If you agree with it and think it's a worthy study, help us get this information out. Because we really want to stop these mass shootings. We want to stop talking about them and start addressing the reasons for them.
Yeah, I hear the solutions would be, for example, have more policemen or security, armed security, armed teachers, put more metal detectors in the schools, and all these things may have some minor, you know, they may be able to thwart a few of these. But to me, it's the individual. Why are we creating individuals that are doing these things?
Right. You know, what's and also, remember, we're a self-governing nation, right? How a self-governing nation is a self-protecting nation.
That means, right.
you don't have metal detectors and police in the schools. That's not self-governing. That's central planning, police state.
That's right.
The teachers. You arm the administrators. You don't have to, and we're going to advocate this in the movie. You don't have to arm every teacher. You don't have to force any teacher to carry concealed weapons if they don't want to. But a lot
right.
of the teachers in the schools are already ex-police, military, and National Guard. They're already trained, and they're happy.
They're already trained, yeah.
And if certain members of the faculty are concealed carry and the students don't know who they are, or these guns, they have guns in lock boxes that they can access, any would-be preacher is going to think twice before he goes into a school and starts shooting the kids. He's going to get shot at right back. That's what we
that's
need.
That's right.
We don't need
that's
guards.
Right.
We don't need metal detectors. We need to have good guys with guns, concealed carry in the nation's schools, churches, and public places, wherever these mass shootings go. And we need to make it illegal to put up a sign that says gun-free zone. These Congress people that pass these laws for gun-free zones have got to be voted out, and they've got to be prosecuted. And same with the judges. We've got
kids being shot. I think of the signs that say gun-free zone. It's almost a lethal kick-me sign. You know, when kids used to put kick-me signs in the back of people, it's almost a lethal. We are unarmed, and we are at the mercy of any criminal or crazy person with a gun. So
yeah,
please come in and shoot
us. A gun-free zone, a person who puts up a gun-free zone is a form of insurrection. Because
mm-hmm.
the Constitution specifically says this, you're not supposed to infringe the Second Amendment, the highest law in the land. And a sign that says no guns is an infringement. And people
That's
that
cool.
willfully disobey that are really insurrectionists. Isn't that what an insurrection is? Somebody that blatantly violates the law and creates
That's
violence?
Right. That's right.
So these
I
people,
was,
we need to bring these people in.
I was very pleased. I was visiting Liberty University, where one of my daughters will be attending this fall. And they had an orientation for parents, and one of the mothers asked about guns on campus, and the police chief, the campus security, and they have a power of arrest, just like any policeman in a city or a town or even a sheriff. And he said that Liberty University is not and never will be a gun-free zone, and people applauded. I thought, well, I think we might have chosen the right school. He said, as long as they abide by the Virginia law, which means 21 or older, concealed carry, you have a permit, you can conceal carry. And just interestingly enough, that Liberty, which is a big campus, is the safest campus in Virginia and probably one of the most safest campuses in the country.
Right.
And there are people that are carrying, and these are young 21, 22-year-olds, responsible young adults as well as others. And for some reason, you don't see any shootings at Liberty. I don't think there's
Absolutely.
Been any shootings at Liberty. I have my own story. I live in Boston, and this was some years ago. I was driving through a neighborhood with a friend of mine going off to work past midnight. And my friend, who was he was a U.S. citizen from Italy, he had a handgun under the drive passenger seat. Now, I don't know if it was legal. I don't think it was, but I knew it was there. And a group of people that took exception to us being in this neighborhood were about to do some, I think, serious damage. And all I had to do was just sort of pull it out and wave it straight up. I didn't have to point it or discharge it. And that pretty much, we were good friends after that. And there was things all over the country. Just the threat or a gun being used or has the potential of being used has more crime has been stopped. And there was a professor from University of Florida, I believe, back in the 90s or late 80s. And he was a liberal, but he was an honest-minded liberal. And he wrote a book called More Guns, Less Crime or something to that effect. Professor Glick, G-L-I-C-K is his name. And he pointed out that there, where you see more guns, there is less crime. And I'm sure your documentary will cover this too. But you look at states like Vermont and Maine and North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana, in other states with very high gun owner per capita, and you'll see the lowest crime in the country.
Right, absolutely. There's a correlation between guns, people being vigilant, and a paucity of crime. So I might add that any of these gun regulations are actually illegal. There is no such thing as a gun regulation. Norton v. Shelby, one of the things great about working with Edwin is he argued before the Supreme Court a number of times.
Right.
So Edwin has all the Supreme Court citings, unlike me, that'll probably misquote it, but I think it's Norton v. Shelby v. Norton or whatever. There's a landmark decision. The Supreme Court says that any law, quote, any law that's passed that is not in alignment with the U.S. Constitution is null and void, is not a law. And Sheriff Mack supports this statement, along with Edwin, that mm-hmm. any gun regulation that the left or anyone passes is not a law. You have no reason to obey. It is not a law because it violates the U.S. Constitution. And so, therefore, your license to keep and bear is the Constitution. It's the Second Amendment.
That's correct.
So I don't know where everybody's gotten off on these harebrained ideas that the left has promulgated, that you have to have regulations. If your listeners watch Moulin Law Midnight Ride, we explain precisely why the founders did not want guns registered, why they wanted them to be available on the commercial open market, and why you cannot regulate and keep names of everybody. And it's going to, what's the government going to do if it starts to go trash? It's going to round up everybody that's on the list.
And that's what they did in Germany under the Weimar Republic, called gun registration. And when the Nazis took over, they just took the list and said, thank you very much. And unless you were a high-level Nazi official, you were unarmed, unless you were in the military, you know, or Gestapo.
I don't understand why Americans just don't get that, the ones that buy the left line. I just don't get that. It just goes to show how powerful the brainwashing is from the media in Hollywood.
It is, but thankfully there are people like you and people like Sheriff Mack and shows like this that are really part of the alternative media and able to kind of break through this this wall, this one-sided, I use the term corporate media, where you can almost predict what they're going to say. Now, can people actually, I know you're looking for sponsors. Can organizations also sponsor this, or I guess I don't know what the term is, co-produce your production here?
If an organization wants to get help, if an organization wants to present this movie along with Oath Keepers, and Braeburn Entertainment has also been a presenter, they are welcome to do that. That means simply that they help us raise some money by forwarding our progress reports to their membership and to their email list. Then independent people look at this, evaluate the project, and donate what they can. We've had donations anywhere from $25 to, we actually had a couple of donations for $10,000, $20,000, and $30,000.
Wow, that's
now,
wonderful.
I don't know what's going on, but we have not had any major donations like the $20,000 or $30,000 for this production.
That's
the first
great.
Time that's ever happened. So if any of you guys out there have $20,000 or $30,000, we'll give you a presentation screen credit, which is
okay.
Starts the movie.
And it's
the number one credit.
And as far as we have about less than a minute left, where can folks go to get more information, website, phone number, Facebook page, and all that good stuff?
Okay. Good Guys with Guns. Goodguys.us is the main site for the Good Guys with Guns. It's goodguys.us, hyphen in between good and guys.
Okay.
If they want to watch all of our movies for free, go to homevideo.net. And if they want to buy DVDs, they go to moviepubs.net. I'm sorry about all the URLs, but
one of our
movies is up for free. But if you buy a DVD, that helps us produce these movies. Because believe me, the networks are not funding these things.
That's right. So. Well, folks, thank you very much, James, and I'm sure our paths will cross, and I'd like to probably show this publicly when it comes out in some various venues. Folks, you've been listening to Camp Constitution Radio with your host, Hal Shurtleff, on WBCQ The Planet. Until next week, may God bless you.